Well, well, here we are.
How can we love our country and not love our countrymen?
I have really nothing to, how do you answer that?
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
Hello, do you speak English, sir? Parlo usted inglés?
All right, people, we're going to try something a little different today.
We are a nation that has a government, not the other way around.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
We, as Americans, have the capacity now, as we've had in the past, to do whatever needs to be done to preserve this last and greatest bastion of freedom.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Now here is your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush. Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Hour number two is upon us. Vince Thompson with us again. He was with us a few weeks ago. Vince, welcome back. Rush to Reason. How are you today?
John, greetings from Atlanta.
I appreciate you joining us. Founder, CEO of the marketing agency Melt, and author of Building Brand You and How to Use Your College Experience to Find and Win Your First Job. Although, I think, Vince, a lot of what we talked about even the last time you were on is this doesn't apply just to college students. This applies to everybody.
Right. Right. Well, you know, John, unfortunately, we are all in this together, and it's going to be very important coming out of it. The job market, both for, you know, current unemployed people and entry level, is brutal. Millions are out of work. And so building your personal brand is going to be important, more important now than ever, because you're going to have more people competing for fewer jobs who are more experienced, willing to take lesser salary to get back in the game. And so you're going to have to do everything, use every tool that you have to stand out and put yourself in a position to win. I use a fishing analogy. In the old days, you make 100 job passes to get 8 bites, to get 2 interviews.
Right.
I could tell you maybe 300 or 400 or 500 now. So it's going to be a game of grind.
It is.
And patience.
It is. No, in fact, Vince, I keep seeing the shift almost weekly now to where, you know, face it, 6 months ago, 7 months ago, it was an employee-driven market. You could just about throw anything you wanted to out there. It was kind of reversed. As an employee, you were fishing for the employer. And it was a completely different situation, because as an employee, you were sitting on the bank. Basically, you could cast the net, and you could get 5 or 6 different job offers off of that one, cast of the net. But let's face it, those roles have reversed. Now you're the fish swimming around, and the employer is the one trying to do the catching. Am I correct?
No, it's all inverted. I mean, it went upside down literally overnight. It was a huge seller's market. Talent was in great demand. Salaries were at a peak demand. I've never seen anything like it. I've been running a business for 20 years.
I agree.
And literally, overnight, it went to the other side. And now, obviously, it's good as an employer, but let's focus on the employees and the plight that they're going to have. And then, now it's going to be just, it's going to be the survival of the fittest of who is able to get back in.
Well, but, on the same token, Vince, stop you for just 1 second, because I think we can talk to the employers as well, because here's the other thing that I think is the opportunity for certain employees. What I've been coaching certain employers on is, if you've got an employee that maybe you haven't really enjoyed and liked, and maybe they're not fulfilling all of your wishes up to this point, guess what? There could be somebody out there willing and ready to fill their shoes. So maybe it's time to make a little bit of a rotation, if you would, Vince. That's an opportunity for the person you're talking about.
Well, I mean, I'm a poster child for it. I mean, I've had some time to take a long, hard look at myself and my business. And to your point, when you're on that big old hamster wheel and you're blowing and going, you'll let some of these things slide. But when you're in a survival mode, you're like, I don't really have to do that anymore.
Right.
And so it is, like I said, it's tough on everybody, but I think you're going to...
But there's opportunity as well. That's what I'm really trying to get to, and why I wanted to have you on, is there is opportunity. Yeah. You just got to look at it correctly.
Absolutely. I mean, and the people that really want to get back in the game are going to always get back in the game.
Yeah,
and
well
said. And because they're going to use those tools and that innate survivability. But John, like I said, I think you see a lot of employers have had that time and had that out of survival saying, I'm going to take a hard, long look at this. And I can tell you that I know I've done it. I've talked to my peers. I've talked to my colleagues. And then also, I'm going to tell you another thing, long run into the consequences. It's going to make people hungrier, and it's going to stop. These kids were job hopping like they would change like
well
underwear.
Well said, Vince.
And those days are over. They're over because there's not going to be a magic switch that goes back on. I'd bring these kids in, and they want to know their career path in 3 months. Right. And I'd go, the path is the glass door, sliding you on your rear end on the way out.
Right.
I mean, I've been grinding for 40 years.
Thank you. Yes. Well, and by the way, well said. In fact, I've not said I'm going to use what you just said a moment ago in the future, because what you just said is exactly right. The job hopping for a lot of these kids, and I don't want to just pick on millennials, because it's not just millennials. It's millennials. It's the generation after. In fact, in some cases, Vince, it's our generation that can do some job hopping. That job hopping in general is going to end.
No, it's over. And I'm going to tell you, it is over. And it should have been over. You can't tell anything about a job or any relationship. Now, you get into some bad situations, but it takes usually a year, and then they didn't want to do, hey, John, if you asked me to go get you a Coca-Cola, I'd go get you a Coca-Cola if I were there. I would do anything. I still would do it at 58 years old. They wouldn't do it. They weren't trained to do it. Everybody got a participation trophy, and those days are over, because the jobs are not there. They would benchmark, and they'd go, oh, I want to be Mark Zuckerberg overnight. And I'm mm-hmm. Look, that guy's a unicorn. There is no overnight success.
No.
It's just a long, dead, dumb night.
Well, and you know what? So let's stop there for a second as well, Vince. I mean, he's a unicorn. I get it. He kind of, if you would, fell into some things. But I will also say that I'll give credit where credit's due. He's also a very intelligent guy, spent a lot of long nights, probably not getting any sleep, hacking out code, typing out code on a daily basis, trying to make sure this thing would work, getting all the algorithms going and so on. And I guarantee you, still a guy that probably puts in a lot of hours to this day. There was no free lunch there for him either.
No, it's still not. I mean, because the glamorization of what he's accomplishing, who he is, distracts from the dues that he paid.
That's right.
And that's what I try to tell these kids. I'm like, hey, guys, just get in and grind and do what it takes. And to your point, John, not only just the kids, is that, well, first of all, the job market was so flush with opportunities. They knew they had been there. And then they benchmark. Everybody benchmarks because of social media. They're on chat and IM all day. And if they have one bad day or one bad hiccup, everybody's benchmarking and lamenting about it. But I think you're going to see a massive, long overdue, seismic course correction of the talent market from seller to buyer.
Amen.
And
well said.
It's going to benefit entrepreneurs 100%.
Well said. And by the way, we're talking to Vince Thompson, chairman, founder, CEO of Melt. Again, folks, that's one of America's most successful sports marketing and branding agencies. We talked to Vince a couple of weeks ago. I wanted to bring him back, because, folks, this is good stuff, not just for the young crowd that's out there, those kids that are in college, but there's a lot of you out there that are trying to figure out, what am I going to do next? Vince, there's a lot of folks out there that maybe either lost a business and have decided, you know what, I'm not doing that again, going to go back into the workforce, or the opposite. There's some folks out there saying, hey, you know what, I am tired of always working for someone else. I want to do this on my own. I'm going to go start a business. This branding affects both sides.
Well, first of all, when in chaos, there's opportunity. And everybody has the tools in their possession, unlike any other generation ever. You've got LinkedIn. So, for instance, on LinkedIn, I have 20,000 followers. That's a giant resource to go find for opportunity. Then think about how your behavior and purchasing and consumption patterns have changed. You get food delivered to your house. You get groceries delivered to your house. You stream a movie on your phone. You don't go to the theater now. Where are those opportunities? Examine your own consumption and behavior patterns and find those opportunities to create a business. I don't think there's ever going to be a better time in coming out of this than to really, really scratch that itch.
Agree.
And if you want to go back to work, an employer, I think everybody's going to be a hell of a lot more appreciative of those opportunities and more discreet about those opportunities than we were when we were on that big fat hamster wheel just a few months ago.
Well said.
If you don't lose anybody you love, there's a lot of silver linings here.
All right. So in closing, I always enjoy talking to you, Vince. I really appreciate you joining us again. Now, when it comes to the branding aspect, I know we talked a little bit the last time, the grandma's test when it comes to social media and so on. I think everybody out there listening probably by now knows what we mean. But on top of that, Vince, what are things folks can do, whether it's social media or other, to establish their own personal brand?
Well, I think you've got to step back and look at who and what you want to stand for. Your value system and your reputation equals your brand positioning. Go study who you want to emulate. Is it Tim Cook? Is it whoever it is? Study their characteristics. Study how they're communicated. What brands do you like? Is it Coca-Cola? Is it Apple? What are those brand attributes? Pull yourself away and then say, okay, how can I communicate that? And then how can I position it? What appeals to me and my behavior patterns? And then what can I do to influence an employer's behavior patterns? And then you got to know everything there is about that employer,
well said,
that job, and that opportunity. And here's the other line. How can you bring value to that organization and that job? There's no reason you don't know everything about that target, soften that target. I went to Auburn. If you write me and say, hey, Auburn War Eagle, I know you not only made an emotional connection with me, you've done your homework, and you're subtly communicating that initiative and self-starting.
Yeah, well, in the sales process, Vince, we call that building rapport, and that's one of the things you need to do on the job side as well.
Well, people need to understand this is not a job application.
Nope.
This is a process.
That's right.
It's going to take patience. Every interaction you have is an audition. But no, you won't believe how many generic resumes and outreach. Dear Careers Mail, here's my resume. I need to make this money. As opposed to, you can find my email anywhere. Dear Mr. Thompson, War Eagle, here's my resume. Here's how my experience would add value to this job and this corporation. It's all a sales process.
Yep. Well done. Well done. Vince, how do folks get a hold of you? What website do they go to?
They go to www.meltatl.com, M-E-L-T-A-T-L.com. The book is on pre-order, Amazon, Bill Brand New, and I'm on LinkedIn. And John, I love to help people because, you know, I've been on all sides of this. I've been up and down, and I mean, look, I'm in the top cycle now. We do 1,000 events a year. You can imagine the condition of my business, but I'm out there wanting to help people. And that karma, put it out there, put that goodwill out there,
amen,
and help all that you can. And thanks for the great job.
Thanks, Vince.
For your audience and listeners.
No, I appreciate it. Thanks very much. I appreciate it. Enjoy your week, sir.
Hey, thank you, sir. You have it. I'll be on anytime you need me.
Okay, I appreciate it. We'll have you back. Vince Thompson again, founder, CEO of Melt. We'll be right back, folks. Don't go anywhere. Enchanted Kitchens is next. If you want that kitchen done by Christmas, you got to get on it, folks. Go to klzradio.com, look up Enchanted Kitchens, or call 303-376-7588.
You need to stand in your new kitchen to know what works. You have some ideas based on pictures you found online, but you've never actually seen, touched, or felt the counters and cabinets that will become part of your daily life. The Enchanted Kitchens design team built their experience center with you in mind, so you could feel at home, only better, giving you the chance to visualize your new kitchen ahead of time. I'm Marie Christine with Crawford Broadcasting, and I'm over 5'10". I spend a lot of time bending over my countertops at home. The first time I visited the award-winning showroom at Enchanted Kitchens, I stood next to a countertop that reached my waist. Suddenly, I could imagine standing up straight to cook. As a Rush to Reason listener, the design team at Enchanted Kitchens will meet with you for free in their experience center to help you solidify your vision of a kitchen design that works. Visit klzradio.com/kitchens, where magic meets design.
Affordable Interest Mortgage, if you want to pay for that kitchen, Kurt has a way to make that happen, or any other upgrades around the house as well. Give Kurt a call today, 720-895-0500.
Rates are like a roller coaster lately. Are you concerned about the future and how to protect your home? Do you want to become mortgage safe? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage. With home values still at their highest level ever and rates at historic lows, now may be the best time to be prepared if the economy changes. Last time, many of our friends lost their home when it was unnecessary. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Many of our clients have the ability to tap their equity should the economy change, all without having to borrow the money now. We can show you how to access your equity in these uncertain times to give you peace of mind and allow you to focus on what's important, your family. Call Affordable Interest Mortgage at 720-895-0500. That's 720-895-0500. We are locally owned and operated since 2001. Our reputation of putting you first with straight answers and listening are unmatched in Colorado. Let us help you protect your home. Take aim, 720-895-0500, where it's all about you.
The big game hunting season is upon us, and archery season is in full swing. Hi, this is Scott Watley with Sportsman of Colorado. Join us Saturdays from 1 to 2 p.m. We'll bring you local outfitters, experts in archery, muzzle loading, and rifle hunting, and much more. Looking for a place to hunt pheasant and waterfowl? We've got you covered. Want to book a trophy deer or elk hunt with a reliable outfitter? We can help. If you like the outdoors, you'll love Sportsman of Colorado. Sportsman of Colorado, Saturdays at 1, right here on KLZ 560.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Craig in Wheat Ridge, what's up, sir?
Hi, John. First of all, I hope your property goes unscathed up there.
Well, I hope so as well.
Area.
I hope so, too.
Yeah, we were up in that area last week, and you know, I can confirm we were at that heading north out of Kremlin towards Steamboat and off to the east. There was a cloud plume that looked just like a thunderhead.
Yep.
Coming off of that fire.
Yep.
But the main reason I'm calling it, like you said, it's time for Kevin Polis to put on the big boy pants and start. I know Donald Trump has a lot on his plate, but he's already met with the governor of California about their fires. He needs to be making the arrangements to meet with Donald Trump on getting some federal assistance to the victims of this fire.
I agree.
Of all the fires that we've had.
I agree. There's going to be a lot of work to be done in the state of Colorado when it comes to even just the rebuilding process, Craig. The biggest fear that I have, which, by the way, nobody is talking about, maybe I think farther ahead than most, or maybe because I'm involved in it personally, I'm thinking this way, but can you imagine the lack of trades and skilled labor we're going to have to even get these things rebuilt? We need a massive recruiting campaign right now just to bring enough people in to even get things rebuilt once things settle down.
Well, yeah, if you can recruit people from other areas where construction is down and get
as a governor, we should be he should be having those roundtable discussions as we speak right now, trying to figure out how are we going to get the trades and the other people in here, the supplies. In fact, by the way, there's going to be enough work going on in Colorado that you could literally recruit cabinet makers and so on to actually show up here and actually go to work and actually build some factories here, if you would, and make that happen. But I guarantee you, our governor's not thinking about any of that.
Well, I'm afraid his focus right now is getting Hickenlooper elected.
That's what his focus is. You are 100% correct, Craig. And whether or not you and I are wearing a mask.
Well, yeah, exactly. And how he handles this situation is going to show his true colors, and it's only going to give strength to either get him. You know, there is
a recall effort going on. Yes, there is. No, Craig, you are spot on. If he doesn't respond correctly, here's my prediction. He doesn't respond correctly to this fire stuff we've got going on right now. And by the way, what I mean by that is, why have we not seen him, other than his briefings on COVID, why is he not having fire briefings on a regular basis? And to me, if he doesn't start doing some of that, and I don't want to give him any pointers here, but he's not listening anyway, so he doesn't do some of that stuff, this recall effort, he's going to find himself out of office.
Well, yeah, he needs to be showing the people of Colorado that he's aware, and we don't even know that he's aware.
Yeah, I don't know anymore, Craig. Other than you and I not wearing a mask, I don't know what he's aware of, truthfully. I can tell you that he will call both of us selfish bastards and wear your damn mask. He'll tell both of us that, but he won't do anything about these fires.
And how about offering some kudos to all the firefighters as we were coming back through the Grand County area there? I understand their lodging is completely booked up in the Granby area.
Yes, it is.
And they're housing a lot of the firefighters up there.
Yes.
Now, people that are evacuating those areas are now having to go to Central City and Idaho Springs for lodging.
Or back down here, probably. I'm guessing some of them have come all the way back down to the Denver area, Craig. If they don't have, you know, livestock and things like that, I would venture to guess they're coming all the way down here.
Because you know these firefighters are risking their lives to save people's homes up there.
Well, I said earlier, I don't know if you heard me, but as I was listening to the police scanners and the fire scanners last night, just trying to get a update on what was going on and where were they at, what were they trying to do, and so on. And I'm listening to these guys go around and save knuckleheads that have decided to stay and fight fires with garden hoses and what have you. I'm thinking to myself, all those people are doing, and I realize, Craig, they think this is a liberty issue, but this is a stupidity issue. And all they're doing is hindering the firefighters from getting around and really doing what they need to do.
Well, this is why you have insurance on your homes.
Thank you.
And anybody living in the forested areas that has not, you know, done a clearing of trees around their home, you know, they're kind of their own worst enemy. They've put themselves at risk. So, you know, they just need to get out of there.
Yeah, and to your point, I mean, even with all of that, I mean, I'll be honest, the way that fire and some of what I saw last night, because I was actually watching some cameras where folks had done a lot of that clearing, there wasn't much around, and yet fire still overtook the home because that thing was blowing in hurricane force winds. And in that case, Craig, I'm not sure there's much anybody can do. But given all of that, what you said to start with is have good insurance. Yes, that costs money. Yes, you have to spend a little bit of money to make that happen. Maybe you have to sacrifice something else to have the proper insurance. But with the proper insurance, you walk away and let it burn to the ground and rebuild it. Who cares?
That's right.
Honestly, that's end of story. And the problem we've got, Craig, is, and I'm afraid, and I said this earlier in the 3 o'clock hour, I'm afraid we've got conservatives especially that just kind of have this, well, it's my house, it's my right, it's my freedom, and I'm not leaving. And Craig, I get where they're coming from, but that's a stupid mentality to have.
Yeah. Well, there was one fire chief up there that said it was pretty amazing. You know, they saw these fires coming at certain homes and expecting them, once the fire had moved past that home, expecting the home to be burned down to the ground, and somehow they survived.
I know, it's
the
amazing.
Home actually...
I don't know how that works. I really don't know how it picks and chooses. I don't understand that. It's like a tornado.
Yep.
I don't get it. Craig, I appreciate it always. Really appreciate your phone call. Got a special guest joining us in a moment. We've got kind of a PSA we're going to talk about here in a minute. We've got Carrie, who's going to join us from External Affairs for Great Schools. And we've got some things going on there we want to talk about as soon as we come back. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Purify Chevrolet's coming up next. And Purify would love to sell you a new or used vehicle. And a lot of you are thinking, man, do I need an SUV or a truck as I head into winter? Well, whatever it happens to be, they want to help you, and they are in Fort Lupton to do just that. It's real easy. Go to purifychevrolet.com or call 303-659-8311.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purefoy. You know, being in business for 6 decades in any business is a tough thing to do, especially in today's highly complex and competitive world. As a small business, we certainly have experienced many trying times when there was no clear answer or path to take for survival. The COVID-19 virus for all of us has been the ultimate business disruptor, but once again, we've managed to keep on keeping on, and we are there to serve our many tried and true customers that have depended on us to always be there. We aren't and never will be a big high-flying dealership, but one with honesty and integrity and a culture of doing things right. We appreciate all our customers, many of which have come long distances to do business with us. We are proud of who we are and what we do. Purefoy proud. We certainly need and would appreciate a chance to earn your business, whether it would be for parts or service or if you're in the market for a new or used vehicle. We'd love to be your Chevy dealer. Find us today at purefoychevrolet.com and find new roads.
All right, folks, Al Smith would love to help you out with all of your retirement planning. That's what he is. He is a financial advisor, would love to make sure that you get there and stay there and then know what you're doing while you're there. And there's a lot going on with that, and it's not as easy as a lot of folks think. Give Al a call today, 303-744-1128, or find him at klzradio.com.
As people move toward the last phase of their lives, retirement, they're faced with many decisions, most of which are financial. For some, that can be filled with anxiety and uncertainty. I'm Al Smith, owner of Golden Eagle Financial, and I've been guiding people for many years as they prepare for or make that transition. I will listen very patiently about what you want your retirement to look like before I make any recommendations. In addition to creating the financial elements of a sound retirement plan, I'll share what I've learned from my clients about what they've done to make their final years fulfilling. It involves finding your purpose in retirement, For many, that may include giving back and helping those who need it. Arrange a free consultation with me, Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial, now at klzradio.com/money.
Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
All right, folks, Barber's Foods. I've been talking about this for a while now. The salmon that we talked to even the fishermen here recently is caught, it's in, it's flash frozen, it's now sitting in Barber's Foods warehouse waiting for you to get it. By the way, I have taste tested last year's salmon, not even this year's, last year's salmon. It was absolutely delicious. Charlie and I both, he's shaking his head. Folks, I have no words. It's the best salmon I've ever eaten, and I mean that sincerely. You can order that now. You can get it delivered. You can get it however you want. Just ask them. That's all you got to do. Go to barbersfoods.com. So whether it's the salmon, whether it's the beef, the bison, the pork, the poultry, you name it, they've got it all. And whatever you do when you order, you get 2 free pounds of Wagyu ground beef. Just use beef at checkout. Beef at checkout. That's barbersfoods.com.
Barber's Foods has been feeding Colorado families the highest quality proteins since 1949, sourced from farm, ranch, and fishing families that they know personally. In September and October, Barber's Foods is proud to offer your family wild-caught Alaskan sockeye fillets, caught by their own fishermen who personally catch the salmon in the Bristol Bay of Alaska in a boat that they own and operate. Go to barbersfoods.com to pre-order your Alaskan salmon fillets. And while you're there, check out the Morgan Ranch Wagyu, Colorado-sourced USDA choice beef and bison, Beeler's non-GMO gestation, crate-free Duroc pork, and Pittman Farms family air-chilled chicken products. Stock up now and save 5% off your entire order with the code SAVE5. You care where your food comes from. So buy your proteins from Barber's Foods, 100% Colorado native owned. Barber'sFoods.com.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Our next guest joining us now, Carrie Gu is joining us. She is Vice President of External Affairs for Great Schools. Carrie, welcome to Rush to Reason.
Thanks, John. Nice to be here.
I appreciate you joining us. So over 2,100 high schools across the country are recipients of the 2020 College Success Award from you guys, greatschools.org, and 76 of those are in Colorado. Talk about that if you would.
That's right. Yeah, thanks for having me on today. Yeah, so today we launched our third annual College Success Award, and you're right. We're looking at high schools across the country in states where we can get access to post-secondary information so that we can recognize and celebrate high schools that are ensuring students to prepare for college, but not only prepare for college and graduate from high school, but also we can tell if students from a particular high school are enrolling in college and do they succeed once they get there.
Okay, so I assume you guys are looking at all sorts of data, metrics, and so on. You determine if a particular high school has a higher success of getting kids out of high school, on into college, and then succeeding in college, and that's what this is about. Am I hearing correctly?
Exactly right. And we can access data from the state of Colorado, and actually Colorado's been kind of at the forefront of data transparency. So we started this award 3 years ago, and Colorado was in the first set of states, 9 states, where we were able to get that post-secondary data and connect it to high schools to be able to kind of uncover what's happening kind of beyond traditional measures of quality for high schools. And so we applaud Colorado for kind of being at the forefront of data transparency on that.
So the way I'm looking at this is if I'm a parent, I really want to make sure that my student is prepared properly to get there, which, by the way, I've raised a bunch of kids and understand a lot of what you're talking about. And I also know there's a lot of kids that go to college that are very unprepared and spend an extra year in college, which, by the way, is just a lot of extra money for somebody, them, mom, dad, student loans, whatever the case may be. If they can get in and out of college in 4 years versus 5, they can save a lot of money. And I'm guessing with your list and what you guys are doing, that helps make that decision process I just mentioned easier.
Absolutely. What this award enables parents and district and state leaders to see which schools in their communities are going beyond those traditional measures of achievement and opening new opportunities for students. Because we know that, you know, graduating career-ready graduates from college are going to fuel the economy. 70% of jobs will require a post-secondary degree in 2027. According to a Georgetown study. So we know this is critical to understand this. And you're right. Parents should be able to have this information so that they know what's happening at the high school level. Because you're right, they're making big investments. And kids are making big investments. And so they should feel like that their public high school has prepared them to go to college.
Okay, so question for you. When should parents start looking at this? I'm guessing not when their child's entering their senior year, but probably when their child's a freshman or getting to be a freshman. Am I thinking of that correctly?
I would say even before.
Okay.
One of the best practices we've identified of successful high schools across these states is when middle schools are closely connected with high school programs, there are better outcomes. But also I would say that parents, you know, who have children in middle school, can look ahead to what's to come. Sometimes they have a choice where to send their child to high school, and sometimes they will get involved in their community and they can bring to the table this information to say, you know, we can see where best practices might affect the outcomes of a high school. Maybe we can work together to improve what's going on at a particular high school in their community.
Okay, makes total sense. What's the website they need to go to, Carrie?
So if you go to our website, we're a nonprofit and everything is free on our website. And if you go to greatschools.org, you can search for a high school in your community or search for high schools around Denver or surrounding communities. But if you also, you can also click on our College Success Awards information and go to the lists of high schools, the videos of best practices. We have some articles there. It's really, there's a lot of information to help parents really understand what college success looks like.
Perfect. All right. Carrie, I appreciate you joining us very much. Thanks for the information and have a great week, if you would, please.
It's my great pleasure. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Take care again. Carrie Gu, and that is greatschools.org. That's the website. So if you've got kids that are in, like she was saying, which, by the way, I agree with, if your kids are in even middle school and you're looking to, you know, how that's going to work, post-secondary education and so on, which you all know that, you know, some kids need to go to college, some kids need to go to the trades. Every kid is different. Every child, I should say, is different, you know, but there will be a certain amount of kids that go to college. So you know what? Make that work. Make it last, and make it the best bang for the buck is probably the best way I should say that when it comes to your kids and going to school and so on. All right. We talked earlier in the week. I got a few minutes here. Liz Mayer is going to join us here at the 4:45 mark. Before we do that, though, I did want to explain Joe Buck's flyover comments. Okay? We talked about that the other day. I even played that. So Joe Buck addressed the leaked audio featuring he and play-by-play partner Troy Aikman allegedly mocking a military flyover. Okay? That was on this last Sunday. Quote, Troy, in the microphone, is repeating something that he heard the night before from an unnamed person on our crew, Buck told his co-host Oliver Hudson. This person happens to be very far left and said, well, under Biden-Harris, you know, that's not going to happen. And Troy was repeating that watching the flyover. He also added the video that accompanied the audio when Defactor Media posted the clip on Twitter may give away exactly where the leak came from. That person will get found out because that specific shot of the flyover, which I personally thought was old and a tape, and that they were running out of our truck as furthering our conversation that we were having internally, I thought that that was on tape. But it was actually live, but it wasn't a Fox shot. Buck explained, they know exactly where the shot was, and therefore they kind of know where our audio was going at that moment. It wasn't going on TV. It was well before our game. That leaked audio and subsequent reaction from those that believe Buck and Aikman were mocking the military and had the play-by-play man feeling as if he needed to share more details of his personal backstory than he usually wanted to. My dad earned a Purple Heart in World War II, was shot in Germany, and was sitting in a hospital in Paris when World War II ended. He saw Charles de Gaulle speak in Paris at the end of World War II. My grandfather was on the battleship in the Pacific in World War II. That's my mom's dad. I come from all of that. Right down the line, that's where my sensibilities are. Buck added that he considers the issue dead and buried, but he did want to make the thoughts known because of the audio that was leaked without context and people had begun objecting to something that really didn't happen. And actually, Andy and Richard covered this pretty well the other day. And to their credit, I think they gave a really good explanation of this even before this came out. But that's Joe Buck's explanation of what happened in last week's audio that was leaked out prior to the game. Tell you what I'm going to do, take a quick break now. I know it's a little early, but we got Liz Mayer joining us at 4:45. Got a few things we need to squeeze in before that. American National Insurance is next. And by the way, folks, after watching all these fires and different things, and I said this earlier, you know, if you've got the right kind of insurance on your home, your auto, life even, a lot of things just get easier because you can sleep at night knowing that, you know what, if I lose it all in a fire, financially speaking, I'm going to be okay. That's what Paul can do for you. He can make sure that things are okay. 303-662-0789. That's Paul Leuenberger at American National Insurance, 303-662-0789.
Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance offers a rebate program unlike any other. Every year that you don't file a claim, you get a certain percentage of your money back. Just one example of how Paul Leuenberger, the personal insurance agent of John Rush, keeps your rates so low. He rewards his customers for their diligence and responsibility. Paul can also help you strategize about when to file a claim and when to pay out of pocket so you save more money in the long run. You don't want to shop online for insurance because you have no idea what you're buying. You need Paul Leuenberger with American National, the no surprises insurance agent. Call 303-662-0789. That's 303-662-0789 and ask Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance for details about his unique rebate program for home and auto insurance. Talk to somebody with the expertise to advise you so you get the coverage you expect.
Stream Auto Repair, folks, we have got weather actually moving in as we speak. Going to be here this weekend, going to be cold, might have some snow. Foothills might have a lot of snow down in downtown here. We might have 1 to 3 inches. It's hard to say, but here's the reality. It's going to snow. It's Colorado. How much? I don't know, but make sure you've got good tires and don't be that guy in the first snowstorm that can't go anywhere because you don't have good tires. Extreme can help you with that. Cooper Tires right now, $70 rebate. They'll sell them to you at their cost. And don't forget the 15% off discount that they'll give every Rush to Reason listener when you mention our name. 303-841-1071 or klzradio.com.
Mistakes happen. Auto repair shops prove their mettle when something goes wrong. The team at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker recognizes that mistakes happen. They're committed to doing what they say, even when that means replacing a failed part for free or honoring the original price they quoted a customer despite unexpected issues. They hear all the time from their loyal customers that's what keeps them coming back because of how the entire team responds when something goes wrong. The techs at Extreme Auto level with you, following through to fix the problem. They don't just replace parts, they repair vehicles. It's that same degree of integrity that keeps their employees around long-term, too. The average Extreme Auto technician has 16-plus years of experience, and they stick around because they share the same commitment when something goes wrong. We do what we say. No arguments, no excuses. Just apologize and work to make it right. KLZradio.com/extreme, promises kept.
Now is the time to zero in on your target audience. So many businesses spread themselves too thin by trying to reach an enormous pool of customers. John Rush can help you define your niche, trimming the fat so you can maximize your profits. Not just surviving the shutdowns, but actually beating out your competition with smarter business strategies. You've done a good job staying afloat. Now it's time to hone in on your most profitable customers. Reach John now at RushToReason.com.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
Hi, Rush to Reason. Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. All right, I know that I've talked fires a lot, but I still got to share this one. This came off of a Facebook post of a friend of mine. It says, Governor Jared Polis is urging all Coloradans to, and their visitors, of course, to take all measures to avoid additional fires. quote, this might not be the last of the fires, and a big part of that is up to us, unquote, he said. He said, Colorado is seeing drier, hotter conditions, ideal for rapid growth for forest fires. He said, this is one of the many reasons that Colorado is working to become a leader in reducing carbon emissions. That is spoken by your true Kevin Polis. Folks, what a moron. We literally have people being evacuated from their homes, going to shelters, livestock being evacuated, firefighters risking their lives. And this knucklehead, this jerk of a governor we have, this moron of a governor that we have, yes, I'm calling him all of those and I mean it, the out-of-touch governor that we have, is more worried about giving you a lesson in reduction of carbon emissions, which, by the way, isn't going to change anything when it comes to the way our forest fires in Colorado are working right now. Not going to change a thing. But that's what he wants to now shove down your and my throats. Instead of actually picking up, pardon the pun, a torch, or as Craig said earlier, putting on his big boy pants. Not sure he owns any of those, but anyways, putting on his big boy pants and actually making some decisions that would affect each and every one of us in Colorado. But I've said this before, and I will keep saying it because I mean it. Jared Polis does not give one flying flip about you or me or any other citizen of the great state of Colorado. He might care about his husband and his kids. Yes, I said husband, because if those of you out there listening don't know this, Jared Polis is gay. A lot of you I know don't know that, but I'm going to tell you that he is. Doesn't matter to me that he is, but yes, he's caring about his husband and his kids. He does not care about you or I. Not one iota. This is the, I believe, the most egotistical. I'm trying to make sure that I use my words right. One of the most egotistical jerks of a governor probably anywhere in our great United States of America. He doesn't think his crap stinks and yours does. And he'd be the first to tell you that. And he, again, has no care or concern for you as a citizen of the great state of Colorado. Not one care or concern. He would just as soon see you go away as to be here in this state. He has an agenda. He is going to run that agenda as hard as he can, and he doesn't care who gets in his way, and he definitely doesn't care about you. Dell, what's up, sir?
How you doing, John?
Good, sir. Thanks for joining us.
I was reading an article this morning where our local court ruled against Polis in reference to the number of people the churches can have and the mask requirements.
Yep, and he is not just, I'm glad you mentioned that, Dale, because it was in my notes for today. He is not a happy camper in regards to what you're talking about. Not at all.
Yeah, because they're talking about, they're trying to get an injunction to keep it going, and they're talking about appealing it to the higher court.
Gotcha.
No. Anyway, that's my 2 cents worth into that worthless thing.
Perfect. Nope, I appreciate it very much, Dale. Thank you so much. And Charlie, I just got word from Liz. I probably should have told you. She was expecting us to call her. I'm sorry. But I just told her to call us. So be expecting her to call us here if she can. I just gave her our number. She should be able to call us pretty quickly here. And I apologize, Charlie. That was kind of last minute on our end. So we'll do our best to get Liz Mayer on here. And if not, we will get her maybe at the 5 o'clock mark, or we'll get her next week. So she's got a lot going on. Presidential debate, by the way, tonight. And for those of you that maybe didn't know, it starts at 7 o'clock. There will be a lot going on in tonight's debate. Charlie and I were just talking how Trump has invited the individual, Hunter's friend, who was in CC'd, by the way, on a lot of the emails that were running around in those emails that have now been found and leaked out of that hard drive. And Trump invited this particular individual to the debate tonight, mainly because this guy's willing to go. He knows that his career may be, well, ruined by what he has said. But basically what he's saying is, hey, guess what? These emails, yeah, in fact, they're all real. In fact, in those emails, it talks about the big guy making approvals for certain things, and the big guy happens to be Joe Biden. So, yeah, Joe knows all about this stuff. He's lying when he says he doesn't, and this guy's going to actually be at the debate tonight, I guess just as a moral support for President Trump and knowing that he's kind of sitting out in the audience. And if people don't start paying attention to what's going on with all of this, they need to. Let's just leave it at that. They really need to start paying attention to what's going on when it comes to the Hunter Biden situation. Liz Mayer joining us now. Liz, how are you? Long time no talk to.
I know. It's been pretty much the duration of COVID, right?
Yeah. So yeah. No comment.
I know.
So I was mentioning a moment ago, big debate tonight. Lots going on. What do we got, like 12 days, I want to say, or 12 or 13 days before the election? I haven't counted it, but it's right around there. A lot going on.
Yeah, it's pretty short period of time. Yeah, I mean, I suspect that at this point, there's not going to be much that'll happen that'll change anything. I mean, we're already into a period where so many people have already voted, either by mail or doing early voting. And nonetheless, we're going to have this debate and see what happens.
Yeah, I'm like you. I don't think the debate tonight's going to change much of anything. Although I do think there may be, and this was one of the things I was going to ask you, there may be some middle-of-the-road voters that have held off on actually doing an early vote that might be waiting to see how some of this stuff shakes out. I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, I keep seeing polls that show that there are undecided voters, and I'm like, who are these people? Because it seems like pretty much everybody I know decided, you know, 2 months ago or more, whether they were in the Trump camp or the Biden camp or they were going to vote third party, and nothing has really changed. But I think who those undecided voters are the people who are deciding whether they can be bothered to vote for either candidate, not deciding between the two, right? So it's people who maybe are so not thrilled with Trump that they could vote for Biden, but they just don't really care about voting for Biden either, like he's not generating any enthusiasm for them, or people who absolutely cannot vote for Joe Biden, but they don't care for Donald Trump either, and they just don't know if it's worth their while, particularly if they don't have the ability to do vote by mail and they'd have to go stand in a line and the weather's going to be crappy in a bunch of places and there's COVID and you're going to have to stand 6 feet away from the next person, so the line's going to seem extra long. And, you know,
yeah.
I think that those are who the undecedes
could
are
be
at this point.
No, so you could be right. I don't know.
If debate does anything for them.
Yeah, you know more about that than I do. I don't have a good feel on the independent side. I do know that I think there's a lot of folks. There are some folks that have early voted, although I think the Democrats, I read an article yesterday where the Democrats in certain states really are have their arms up, you know, wondering what's going on because their early vote is way behind that of the Republican vote in certain states. And I think they're really nervous about that in particular states, whether those states come into play or not, who knows. But, if let's just say this. If those particular states I'm talking about, if the early voters have already voted, those states are already heavily Republican.
Right. That's true. And I think in other places it's going to be the reverse. But this is one of the reasons why when earlier in the year President Trump was going off about how awful mail voting was and early voting was, I was like, but in a state like Florida where you need those people, I mean, the people who do that are disproportionately Republican voters. Like, if it were me, I wouldn't be criticizing any of this.
Oh, I would be. That's where you and I differ. And I just know from being in Colorado where we've had mail-in voting since 2013 and what a debacle it can be at times. And to have a state now doing mail-in voting that's never done it before, Liz, I am a complete objection to that.
No, I get where people are concerned about this. I mean, look, I grew up in Washington State. I have members of my family whose votes in the very heavily contested 2004 gubernatorial election were discounted. And that was the election where our King County executive, Ron Sims, like magically discovered a bag full of ballots sitting in a closet on like the third recount or whatever. So, you know, I'm not saying that there aren't.
Well, I got another example for you. I'll share real quick. I know we're short on time. But my brother, who now lives in Texas, who used to live in California, who's been in Texas now for many years, between his wife, him and his daughter, they got 6 California ballots in the mail in Texas, and that's not a joke.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't totally surprise me. I think there are some states that do it better or worse than others, and California, clearly, I've heard, you know, various problems out of that. But I think still where you are seeing those problems tends to be in states that aren't going to swing, whereas in a state like Florida, Trump really needs all of those seniors who are absolutely not going to be incentivized to vote for him if they have to go to the polls on election day in the middle of a pandemic, right?
True.
So I don't know. That's just my personal calculus.
No, no. Well done. Well, and again, we can have you back next week and talk a little bit more. In closing,
yeah,
I got 10
we'll
seconds.
See how the debate went.
I got 10 seconds. Your pick for who wins the election?
I think at this point it's more likely to go to Biden, but in some of these states, it's very close. And I think that if Biden doesn't have a clear 2-point advantage, I think Trump can probably juice his voters and make up with enthusiasm on the day. So
perfect.
We'll see.
Perfect. All right. We'll talk again next week. Liz Mayer, Mayer Strategies, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Bruce Simmons is next. He is a reverse mortgage professor. Anything you need when it comes to reverse mortgage, he's the guy to talk to. Give him a call today. Go to klzradio.com or 303-467-7821.
Between the high home values and low interest rates of today's market, you want to call Bruce Simmons now about refinancing your reverse mortgage. Your home value has increased since you first took out your loan. By refinancing at today's low interest rates, you could pull more money out of your home without increasing your loan balance. Convert an even larger portion of the value of your home into tax-free money that you may use however you wish. Plus, as long as you continue to pay your taxes and insurance, you will never need to worry about making a mortgage payment as long as you live in the home. KLZ's reverse mortgage professor, Bruce Simmons, makes a potentially confusing loan program easy to understand. Right now, Bruce can even walk you through the numbers virtually, line by line, from your home computer. Visit klzradio.com/reverse and ask Bruce to run the numbers for you. Find out how much you could benefit from refinancing your reverse mortgage.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, folks, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. By the way, there are actually pictures now on Facebook of Estes Park. Looks like they are doing their best to evacuate as many of those folks as they can. The line out of Estes Park is jammed. There's a traffic jam getting out of town. And again, that's all because of the East Troublesome Fire that started over in the Grand Lake area, really on the very western edge of the Grand Lake area. It came all the way across and has now crossed up over the top of Trail Ridge and is dropping down into Estes Park potentially. So we'll have more on that. Don't go anywhere. Hour number three is next. Terry Jones joining us, the founder of Travelocity. He'll be up next. This is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.